1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge.
And W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
This covenant story began long ago, long before we got here in the Garden of Eden, where God created humans and he put his image in them, and he wanted a relationship with them, and he wanted them to act as partners to help him to spread Eden around the world. Be fruitful and to multiply. Take this garden, this beautiful garden with all of this vegetation, dress it and keep it. And I want you to be fruitful and to multiply, not only with children, but take the image of the garden into the world.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Examine the Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
You need to be preemptive. Think about it. Think out ahead of yourself. Let God give you a little vision for your life and where you're going so you can increase your assertiveness. Secondly, God wants you to remain accessible. Your next requires you to be accessible. If I call you or if I count you, can I count on you to show up? If I count you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 20, 35, 40, 45, 50, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 100. If I count you in the number, can I count on you to be accessible, to show up? Glory to God. So we need to be assertive and accessible. And then thirdly, we need to be able or capable. I was sharing with my staff, we need to be capable, we need to be motivated, and we need to make sure we develop a good attitude. Those three things are next necessary if we're going to be men and women of covenant. I got to say it again. We need to be accessible, we need to be assertive, and we need to be able or capable. With that comes motivation and a good attitude. We've heard it before. Your attitude will determine your altitude. God is all God. He's in charge and he's large, but he needs us to have a good attitude. Because God wants to raise up leaders and then leaders of leaders and then leaders of teams. He wants to raise up leaders and then leaders of leaders and then leaders of teams out of this group. And our leadership shouldn't look the same every year. Sometimes we need new leadership. And that's why those that's been running for Jesus and been in the ministry have to move over and allow some maneuvering to go on, even like a chessboard as we move forward. I know it's hurting. It hurts to move. But don't fall in love with your ministry. Fall in love with Jesus. I didn't say don't fall in love with your church. I'm talking about the ministry that you're in within your church. You don't start developing your identity around that. Develop your identity around Christ. Because if you have to move, your heart will be hurting. Amen? You're more valuable to the organization, to the church at large, when you're able to move smoothly and fluently and still support. I've moved some usher leaders, and the usher leader that was don't leave the church. They still start serving the new leader. That's the kind of mindset you need. That's the kind of mindset that you need. Even leaders can become complacent and a little too relaxed in their position. But when God moves you over, it doesn't mean you leave the ministry because you hurt, because they took you down and they don't appreciate you no more. Get with the ministry and keep it moving. Glory to God. Can somebody say amen? That's the kind of maturity that we need in church in the 21st century. There's some people, if they work with finance, you move them, they like finances like a position of authority. What are you talking about? You're an accounting steward. That means you make sure everything counted is a president accounted for. You're a steward over that, not a controller. They buying a computer. I didn't know. You don't have to know. You work for a company, don't you? Don't they have a CFO? A chief financial? What are you talking about? This is that old type religion that we've had for years where people that can't even read the bank statements are in charge of finances. Not here. Y'all don't want me to go to my Jerry Curl wearing Stacey Adams. You don't want me to do that. I won't say it today. You're looking for that kind of ministry. That stuff is gone. Ain't nobody running church like that. Nobody. Glory to God. Please get that. So we need to be leaders. God is raising up leaders of leaders, leaders and leaders of teams. Sanctify your team regularly. Leaders of teams, if you're not sanctified regularly, you will begin to putrefy. It must be washed constantly. And the leader of teams need to keep a good attitude because you can pollute your team with a bad one. If you are so tied to your leader that if they move, you get a bad attitude, you're off. You need to make sure you're connected with the mainframe. You understand what I'm saying? You don't need to develop an attitude because your person happened to move on. They don't run the whole show. That's with anybody in ministry. God can move me and put somebody else there. Lord, please don't do that. Please, please don't do that. But nobody has a foothold on ministry like that. If they don't show up, it's all going to crumble. Y'all understand that? You got your confidence in the wrong people and the wrong thing. And God will make adjustments like that. Moses, my servant, is there. And if you've had somebody like a Moses to you, a mentor for years, and they happen to move on, stick with God. And God will help you. If you want to be an impactful person of covenant, and I'm going to get into the covenants of God. You want to be an impactful person, you need to understand impact. And it is an acronym. The I is for insight. Write it down. Hindsight plus foresight equals insight. And then internal light. Hindsight plus foresight equals insight. And then the light comes on, you have internal light. I say it again. Hindsight plus foresight equals insight and then internal light. It starts with insight. To get insight, you got to be able to glance over your shoulder at what you came out of. Hindsight. And then pierce toward the things that are before you, foresight. When you're able to tie the two together, you will have insight for living. And then the light comes on, you have internal luminosity. And when you can see, notice there is no light in your body, only through your eyes. If I cut you open right now, there is nothing but darkness there. The only light that comes into your body is through your eyes. So if the eyes are dim, we have no light at all. That's spiritually and naturally. So we need to be able to look behind, but don't stare at it. Just glance. Get the hindsight plus the foresight. You want to continue to look through your windshield in your life. God is before you. He's not behind you. Your life and your future is before you, which will create insight. Light comes on with internal light. The M is for mission. One of the things our church is trying to do is establish everyone with a mission for life. If you know that God is a covenant-keeping God, how should you respond to that? You need to be a covenant-keeping people. Glory to God. That means some things are binding. First of all, nobody's going to mess up my faith with the Lord. No circumstance. If God is covenant keeping, I'm going to keep my covenant with him. Mission. Mission is so important. The mission and the vision, where there is no mission, where there is no vision, the people perish. Actually, the mission, the vision is greater than the people because they perish without it. And I know that sounds ignorant, but it's the truth according to the scripture. We perish if we have no direction, no unfolding revelation. That's why God keeps it fresh. The P is for purpose. Purpose is the reason or intent for doing whatever you do. The reason or intent for doing what God has a purpose. God has a purpose. God has a plan. What do you do when you've done all you can? Yeah, I'm trying, man. God has a purpose. God has a plan. What do you do? God has a purpose, and so should you. That's the reason or intent for doing what you do. This church has a purpose. Change lives by reforming minds that we might establish the kingdom. You need to know the purpose for life. But you start with God being a covenant-keeping God and then match it. There's a double A here. The first one is accountability. Who are you accountable to? Who can call you down? Who can tell you you're wrong, that you have a bad attitude, that you need to work on your capability? You're just coasting in your position. You haven't really been developing it over the last few years. You're not motivated. You got a bad attitude. Who can speak to you about that? Accountability. That's what accountability partners do. They don't just encourage. They speak to you about areas that you can grow in. The second A is for accuracy. Accuracy. There are a lot of people that are aiming, but they're not hitting the mark. But we want, God wants us to become more accurate in our aim and in our processes. At the end of this year, I can't believe daylight savings time is changing so quick. I thought, man, I like the sun going down early. This is absolutely insane. But I really believe that God wants us to have a little bit more light and a little bit more accuracy. At the end of this year, I want to be able to say I'm a better, accurate pastor. Husband, father, mentor, and all of that jazz. And you should be able to say the same thing. The C is for covenant keepers. If you want to impact your community, impact your life, you need to be a covenant keeper as God is. There's some agreements that you're not going to break. I don't care who breaks them. Keep the covenant. Keep the flame. And the T is for training. Training, 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 training. Even today, my message started out with preaching. Now I'm teaching because this is a part of training. You need to learn something when you come to church and not just shout. You have to learn something that you can put into practice. We require training. This praise team has worked with me through the whole pandemic. The Women's Sunday School has gone on for the whole pandemic. I've been preaching, and leaders have been preaching here through the whole pandemic. Our new members class has gone on through the whole pandemic. We kind of shut down during Christmas, but that's changing too. That's changing as well. We're going to keep plowing through. Amen. I said amen. We got people that are joining the church through a pandemic. So we need to make some adjustments for that. Amen. So I'm going to train. I'm coming down in the ministries to lay out a new map and how we need to move forward. So we will all be on the same page as we move into the 21st century. Thank you, Lord. As I close this for today, there is a covenant story. I'm going to pick it back up at 11 o'clock. A covenant story, a beginning of the covenant story. It starts in the book of Genesis. Like every good story, this covenant story began long ago, long before we got here, in the Garden of Eden, where God created humans and he put his image in them, and he wanted a relationship with them, and he wanted them to act as partners to help him to spread Eden around the world. Be fruitful and to multiply. Take this garden, this beautiful garden with all of this vegetation, to dress it and keep it. And I want you to be fruitful and to multiply, not only with children, but take the image of the garden into the world. I want you all to see that. Take this barefoot, naked paradigm, naked and not ashamed, into the world. I want you to grow it, multiply it. Glory is here. You won't even see nakedness if glory is here. You take glory out, everybody got to put on clothes. Because without glory, you will see the shame of your neighbor. And if glory ever leaves a church, you'll see the shame of everybody in the church. Shame was always there. But glory covers shame. Thank you, Lord. In the 21st century, God wants us to take dominion and to be fruitful and to multiply and to take what's in this Eden or in this church into our community, our state, nation, and world. And the glory of the Lord will help us with when we see issues and problems with each other. The more glory we have on the movement, the less we will point at each other. You pull glory out, we will be backbiting one another, fighting one another, hindering one another, because we'll lose a sense of covenant. And so the parents of humanity, Adam and Eve, should have been priests and kings in this covenant, working with God, replicating what God established in Eden, or to fulfill their cultural mandate that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28, which is called in Romans 5, he is called the second Adam. First Adam dropped the ball in Genesis 3. The second Adam picked it up in Matthew chapter 1. And where sin abound, grace does much more abound. But God was a God of covenant even then. Thank you, Lord. And he wants me to share with you that he's the God that establishes covenant. And there are five that I need to speak to you from this day forward until we finish this series. The first one is the Noahic covenant. It began with Adam, but God established a covenant with Noah. Thank you, Lord. The second one is called the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. Thirdly, we see the covenant to the nation of Israel. Covenant to the nation of Israel. The modern day church has taken the covenant to the nation of Israel and tried to apply it through laws. But it was specifically for the nation of Israel. The fourth covenant is called the Davidic covenant. Remember Abraham's covenant and David's covenant. Some of those things that God promised are tied to the New Testament church, but not all. And the last one is the new covenant. And Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. No prophet, no apostle, no evangelist, no pastor or teacher. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. So I'm going to pick it up at 11 o'clock and pull out the covenant with Noah and begin to minister to you. And you're going to see some things that God said to this man and learn from it and learn some things not to do. Like, just because you're a person of covenant doesn't mean you can curse your children. God gave Noah a major ministry. He built an ark for the saving of his household. But after he saved them, one of his sons hurt him hard. And he turned to the boy and cursed him. And God honored his words. Glory to God. Let me tell you what he did. He got drunk with the wine of his success. And you got to be careful when God starts prospering you that you never step into self. Even though you're a person of covenant. You never step into self and say, I'm self-sufficient. Look what I built. That's what happened. And it can happen to anybody. Believe me, most of us started without a pen or a pot or a window to throw it out of. We had no clue. Eating chicken feet, not chicken necks, chicken feet. Chitlins. Some people in here like chitlins. Chitlins. Came from humble beginnings, but no one could see it now. Oh my God, in America, living in America, hand to hand, across the nation. Come on, I had to pull a little Jane Brown on you. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. I feel good. Listen to me. You got to be careful when God prospers you in America. He comes out of the ark. Wow, the only family saved. Be fruitful and multiply. Build an altar. Planted a vineyard. Grew some grapes. Squeezed the grapes. It became fermented. He got drunk from the wine of his success. Fell asleep in his tent. Body exposed. The older two boys covered him. But the young one mocked him. Look at daddy. Mocked him, went and told people about it. I saw him naked. He was infuriated when he woke up, and in his anger, he cursed the boy. And if you check the line, you'll see Africa coming out of that. God honors his word so much that the descendants of this boy, the dark ones, came under his curse. That's why you have to be careful not to speak when you're angry, especially over your descendants, or do anything to them, son or daughter, that will cripple them, because it can impact generations. That's how powerful a covenant is. He will honor your words. Why can't we speak the blessing? Why can't we look over our descendants, stand on your porch and say, God, I stretch forth my hand and I bless them wherever they are. I pray that the blessings of God will overtake them. I pray that their descendants will be blessed. Nothing that happened in my life, Father, don't allow it to happen to them. I decree and declare the grace of God from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Jesus said the blessing is greater than the curse. So if Noah could curse and it touches a continent, what can the blessing do? We just don't practice blessings. Glory to God. We practice cursings. All rap music using the F-bombs, the H-bombs, the S-bombs. Everybody buys it. You start blessing people, nobody wants to buy it. But what does God tell us to do? It's to bless and not curse. And a covenant keeping people will bless. I don't care what the world buys. Don't you ever curse. Lady called me up on the radio and said, curse my boss. I said, what? What? I was live on the curse him. He's getting on my nerves. Holy Ghost fell on me. Bam. I'm not cursing your boss. God is using your boss to get the hell out of you. By the way, the Lord told me that you have been taking things that you shouldn't take. Said it openly. You know what that lady said openly? You're telling, broke down. You're telling the truth. My mama taught us how to steal. Would take us to the store, show us how to wrap the clothes up and put them in our bag because we didn't have money, and take it out and walk out of the store. And even when I'm in church today, if I see a dress at Dillard's, I have to go and get it. Said it openly. I said, the cops are not going to pick you up. God is going to shield you because you confessed openly. He's going to shield you openly, but you need to stop this madness and God use your boss to get this out of you. Don't you teach your girls to do it. You think vices aren't in our relationships? Vices aren't in our communities? We're talking about what the police do. We got our own enemies. God wants us to bless and stop cursing. He wants us to start moving in covenants and not hurt people and hurt ourselves in the process. So don't call me on the radio telling me to curse nobody. You may get your feelings hurt. I don't curse people. I bless people.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from Examine the Covenant, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2203-0608. That's reference number 2203-0608.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today.
Vacation Bible School Shine and Star 2.0 is right around the corner. VBS will kick off on Monday, July 18th and run through Friday, July 22nd. Get more details and registration information in the Truth Revealed mobile app or log on to our website, truthrevealed.org, to register your children ages 2 through 6th grade. Bishop and Pastor Sabrina will celebrate their 29th wedding anniversary on Saturday, July 2nd. All cards and acts of kindness are welcome. Gift them your love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Reveal mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Reveal 2, and checks should be made payable to Truth Revealed and indicate wedding anniversary on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.